Brazil's indigenous people want Europe to know. The Amazon Xingu Reserve needs help. Tribe chief Raoni Metuptire kicked off a three-week tour around the continent on Monday to raise awareness of growing deforestation in Brazil's Amazon, starting with France's environment minister in Paris. The head of the Kayapo people, now in his late 80s, will meet with heads of state, celebrities and even the Pope in a bid to raise funds for the preservation of the Xingu. His goal is €1 million.
Empty homes are piling up in Zhengzhou, in China's heartland province of Henan. Just a few years ago, this city of 10 million had one of the country's hottest property markets. Today, the unsold spaces in Zhengzhou are up more than 25% from last year. It's a problem felt around the country as China's economy slows and the government takes steps to make it harder to buy a house in order to prevent a bubble.
For years, they've said Chicago ain't ready for reform. Well, get ready, because reform is here. It's the time for a new era of trust between the people of Chicago and the government that serves them. People cannot and should not live in neighborhoods that resemble a war zone. Enough of the shootings, enough of the guns, enough of the violence. Over many, many years, Chicago dug itself into a giant financial hole. To be true to the notion of stability, we must get our fiscal house in order.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's May the 21st, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway here in Chicago with a new mayor. You heard some of Lori Lightfoot in her inauguration speech yesterday talking about all of the things that impact life and business in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot, the 56th mayor of Chicago. Lots more going on, too, in the world of business this morning, as you heard in the montage. We'll be watching a lot of it as we move forward this hour here on The Opening Bell. We'll check the markets in a minute on the program today. FOMO, you've heard of FOMO, the fear of missing out. Are your friends' social media accounts impacting the way you spend money? There's new research that suggests perhaps maybe so. Ken Novak will be here from Schwab. We'll go over some of the research and findings a little bit later in the program. Connor McGurry will be here. He's the entrepreneur in residence at North Central College. And we will talk a little bit about what that means and have a conversation about being an entrepreneur and first of its kind coffee lab that's opening up there. That'll be at about 5:38 this morning. So stay tuned. We'll kick it off first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. And the opening bell rings today on Wall Street after stocks tumbled yesterday as investors reacted to news of Google cutting ties with Chinese telecom giant Huawei. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones was down nearly 84 points. The NASDAQ lost 114 points. And the S&P was down about 19 points this morning, gaining a little bit of that back on the Dow, up nearly 110 points in futures trading, nearly 0.5%. The NASDAQ's up 61, nearly 0.75%. And the S&P is up a little bit more than 0.5% this morning, heading to the opening bell. In Asia, markets are generally mixed. In Japan, down nearly 0.25%. The Hang Seng is up, down nearly 0.5%, down nearly 130 points. The Shanghai up about 1.25% this morning. And in Europe, as we look over the markets there, everything in the green, the FTSE, the DAX, the CAC, all a little bit higher today. The FTSE is up nearly 0.5%. The DAX in Germany is up nearly 1%. Oil in the U.S. is at $63.45 a barrel, which is up about 35 cents. A couple of stories as we begin this morning. American shoe companies are telling President Trump that putting tariffs on shoe imports from China would be catastrophic for U.S. consumers. Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Foot Locker, and other sports shoe brands expressed their concerns in a letter to the president yesterday. The letter from more than 170 footwear companies said raising import duties on shoes from China would threaten the economic viability of many companies that sell shoes. The shoe companies say that they cannot quickly shift production out of China. And here's a stat for you. More than 70% of shoes imported into America are made in China. Ford Motor Company will start laying off white-collar salaried workers today. The automaker slashing 900 jobs worldwide in engineering, research, and development, with 500 of those coming mostly from Dearborn, Michigan. Nearly 7,000 jobs expected to be slashed by August at Ford. That's about 10% of the workforce at Ford. Let's begin front and center this morning. The fear of missing out, images and experiences shared by your friends on social media may be driving you to spend more than you can afford on stuff. Let's bring in Ken Novak, Vice President and Senior Financial Consultant at Schwab, which is behind some of this research. Ken, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So the idea is I see something on, let's say, my friend's Instagram Graham account or on or Twitter or somewhere that they're doing some experience. They've bought something, and that's driving me to spend a little bit more than I have?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we saw this year on our survey, where it really hadn't popped up in the past. But when we look at that, over a quarter, nearly 29%, confess that they're spending more than they can afford just to avoid missing out on experiences with friends. You know, a lot of that based on things that maybe they've seen on social media. People have shared experiences and kind of, like you said, fear of missing out of that experience themselves.
Yeah, we're talking about the 2019 Modern Wealth Survey. And how many people did you talk to about this, and what kinds of things did you ask them about?
Yeah, and so as we're looking at, you know, we've focused, you know, broadly across the country, but also here specifically in Chicago, so found out a number of things. So maybe even with, you know, kind of looking at that social media pressure there, not only the millennials, which, you know, came up about 38% to 40% felt the pressure, but even older generations, 31% of the Gen Xers, 14% of the baby boomers also felt pressure to just keep up with friends, if you will.
Yeah, and what I find fascinating is that before we spend the money, at least for the millennials, but for most of us, we actually think, well, how are my friends affording all of this? And then we go out and spend the money to try to keep up with them.
That's right. And you know, in that survey for Chicago residents specifically, too, they rank social media as the biggest bad influence when it comes to managing their money, which is, you know, definitely something that, you know, generations ago we wouldn't necessarily think of. But now, you know, we need to kind of think of all those factors and make sure we're creating that plan.
This has happened, I guess, throughout history, right? I mean, in my day, when I was younger, and when my parents, you know, when I was living with them as a child, I remember them seeing what the neighbors had in their yard, or you know, remember my dad being jealous of the neighbor's new lawnmower or something like that. So it's kind of been going on a lot in history, but not to this extent. Is that a fair way to say this?
I would agree. We're, you know, definitely that social media, you see it more often you see it every day. So that definitely is creating a little bit more pressure. You know, here at Schwab, you know, we view that, you know, focusing more on creating that financial plan to help balance that spending and savings. So as you're experiencing those, you know, different things and better experiences, you're still able to achieve that long-term stability, you know, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get into some of the ideas, too, about planning and saving. But before I do that, I want to hit some more of the headlines. Talk to us a little bit about people struggling to save money, struggling just to plan for finances.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, here in Chicago, only 27% of Chicago residents actually have a written plan. And so when you think about that plan, we're thinking about a plan for retirement, a plan to reach those goals long term. Those without a plan, 41%, so nearly half, don't feel they have enough money to, you know, even need one. But that's really where, you know, I think the first step is just creating that plan.
Yeah, and 3 in 5 people, according to this survey, 61% living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, those are the things that, when you think about it, there are always things that on a daily, monthly, you know, and annually basis, that if you create that plan that you're saving toward that goal, that you find you're going to be much more successful.
More than a third have built up an emergency fund. That seems like a low number. Is there something going on, Ken, in the economy that's being like this, or are people just spending too much? Because we have heard that the economy is working for some people, but for not for all. Would this be evidence of that, do you think?
And definitely, you know, I think in any environment, there's always going to be issues that come up. But the key there, again, I think, is to develop that plan where those that have a plan, you know, over 52% feel financially stable. So the key is to develop that plan. The earlier, the better. Obviously, you've got the ability of that money building on itself for you. But those that have built a plan, more likely to have an emergency fund, more likely to be on time with their payments, or their loan payments or debt payments, more likely to rebalance their portfolio, more likely to be diversified inside of their investments, too. So limiting those risks over time as well.
Part of this conversation, Ken, is the idea that having a financial plan, having some sort of plan, is the way to go here. 52% in the survey that we've been talking about of Chicago residents who have a written plan say they feel financially stable. So talk to us about a financial plan. What should we do if we don't have one? How do we start?
Absolutely, Steve. And the first step is always just creating a budget, you know, and it seems simple, but, you know, most people that we talk to that don't have a financial plan yet don't really know what they're spending per month. And so just sitting down, taking a look at what your expenses are, whether that's rent, utility, food, et cetera, creating that budget so understand what your expenses are. And then from there, you've got a better idea of how much you're spending per month, how much you're bringing in per month from the paychecks, and from there, figuring out how to create that saving plan. And that's something that, whether it's at Schwab or other financial advisors, happy to help with that process just to make sure that people are on track and saving.
You know, one of the big things, and this was sort of a game changer for me, and I didn't realize it until I actually started doing it, but automating what we do for savings. So automate what goes into the 401k, automate what goes into our savings account. That's a big part of actually doing it behind the scenes, right, without even thinking about it.
So without a doubt, and you mentioned 401k, and I think 401k is a perfect example where many employers will also match your 401k contributions. And so if you automate that payment, if you don't even see it come out of the paycheck because it never hits the checking account, goes right into the 401k account, starts building up as 401k as a retirement vehicle to save for retirement. And then you get that free match from the corporation, so it's really compounding the savings for you.
The interesting endpoint here of the survey that we're talking about is what it would take to be wealthy, in air quotes, in Chicago, what people think that number is. What was the finding from the Schwab research?
Yeah, and I think two different things there, Steve. You know, so first, we did see when pressed, a dollar figure that was given out, although, you know, this year we saw more and more people felt that it was wealthy, that, and the definition of being wealthy was more about being able to pursue your passions and experiences as opposed to just a number. But then as that was, you know, pressed a little bit, just to kind of so we could compare previous years, this year in Chicago, locals say that the average net worth would need to be $2.5 million, up from $2 million of last year and the previous year. So definitely, you know, a lot of savings in order to get there. But again, you know, a lot of people, you know, feel, at least half the residents are optimistic that they'll be wealthy at some point in their life. Roughly, 2 in 5, feel that way over the next 10 years. So we think about 40% or so.
Ken, when people are struggling, we talked about that meeting the paycheck to paycheck. Do they think about creating a plan? And what do you say to folks who may get to that point and just feel so overwhelmed that they stop right there and don't go any further, whether it's the cost of financial planning, perhaps, or just looking at all of this? A lot of this is sort of a mental feeling, isn't it?
It, It is. And you know, our feelings at Schwab are regardless of where you are in that economic cycle or life cycle, that it's important to start that planning process. And again, even going back to just kind of creating a budget where we know, you know, 41% believe that they don't have enough money to merit having a financial plan, and it's inaccessible to them. But that's something that we think is important, again, regardless of where you are in your life cycle, to have something started. We know that with that written plan, you're going to be much more successful in reaching your goals. And so the sooner you start, the better you have a chance.
All right, Ken, we appreciate you being on with us this morning, giving us a little motivation today. Thank you.
Thanks for the time, Steve.
Ken Novak, Vice President, Senior Financial Consultant at Schwab. You can find more online at schwab.com. And we're going to link out to the FOMO research that we have been talking about today in the podcast of The Opening Bell at WGNradio.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell, the business of coffee. We are talking a little bit now about the North Central College Coffee Lab. They're celebrating the grand opening of that lab recently, the first one of the few college facilities in the United States with the focus on the business of coffee happening at the student level there, and the entrepreneur in residence at North Central College in Naperville, Connor McGurry, joins us a little bit this morning to talk about this. Connor, welcome to the program and congratulations on all of this.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
Let's talk about first why where the idea came from and why the focus on coffee.
Yeah, idea started actually from my professor Jerry Tallman, who's an accounting professor on campus here in about 2004. He first saw the coffee that we've been purchasing being sold at his church. Thought maybe we could do this as a fundraiser for the business club on campus. Brought the idea back and actually linked up with an anthropology professor, Matt Crystal, who had, at that time, extensive experience working in Guatemala. And so once they realized it was a match between their two interests, they first traveled down to Guatemala with students just to meet the farmers. And then for about the past 14 years now, we've traveled twice per year to Guatemala with students and faculty to purchase coffee for our own brand and meet with the community and see how else we can support their community.
And so the students that are involved in this are really getting sort of a hands-on first look at business, right? I mean, this is the idea of this. It's sort of you know, kind of getting their feet wet, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's almost like a live simulation that students get to go through, where students are making real decisions about steering the business and changing it up and pivoting and whatnot. And I think students from all disciplines, not even just business, enjoy the fact that coffee is so hands-on, and it's a product that particularly college students understand and is easy to work with. So it has really, I mean, personally, I can say that it's been a super impactful experience to be able to work with professors across campus, work with the administration here, and build something that's unique to North Central and built in that students can be proud of.
Give us a layout. Give us a kind of a mental picture of the layout here of the coffee lab. What's there and what's it look like?
Yeah, so it's about 450 square feet, and it's located in Lawrence Academic Center on the north of North Central's campus, close to the train station. In there, what we have is largely right now serving as a production facility. So we have countertops that have scales and analyzers for density and moisture and color of the coffee. We have grinding equipment, packaging equipment. Kind of the centerpiece of the lab is actually a coffee roaster. It's a full-size shop roaster. It's a P12-2 coffee roaster that was actually donated by Probat up in Vernon Hills. And then, you know, throughout the lab, we have equipment from other partners like Chemex and Bun and AeroPress of different brewing methods and really different ways to prepare coffee. So the idea is that we're inviting students in to not only learn about our own business, but also showing them all the different aspects of coffee, all the ways to brew it, and really the best way to enjoy it.
Idea here, this is more than just a business students that are involved too. When I was reading up on our getting ready for our interview today, I mean, it's students from across the spectrum of different areas. So, like for instance, accounting students are involved in this, chemistry students, graphic arts students, social sciences students. Talk to us about how all of those students come together and learn something about their chosen field.
Yeah, so I think one of the great things about North Central is we have a chapter of Enactus, which is a global organization really devoted to social entrepreneurship, and that's always been where we've housed this kind of coffee business prior to bringing it to the lab. And Enactus has always kind of brought in students of wide disciplines, and the exposure to the coffee project has really come from the work on campus of the Enactus group, bringing it to life and bringing it to different departments. So, like you mentioned, the other day in the coffee lab, we had chemistry students coming in to take water samples from our sinks and from our brewers and our hot water towers to look at whether or not we meet Specialty Coffee Association standards for the actual chemical breakdown of our water. And like you said, we have graphic students working on designing new packaging for us and helping on our website, and cost accounting students in anthropology and engineering. And it's really been a collaborative approach across campus where once we kind of pitched this idea, we had professors from across campus and all disciplines coming to us saying, hey, maybe I could use this in my class for this, or I've thought about bringing the students for, you know, a field trip here we could actually do it in the coffee lab. So it's been really great to see everybody kind of coming together around this idea of coffee, and because it is so applicable to all these disciplines, and trying to give students a new experience on campus.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the lessons people are learning. What has the experience meant, not only for you, but for some of these students as they get started in their business careers?
Yeah, I mean, I think had you asked me 2 years ago if I would be working, you know, opening up a coffee lab for North Central College, I probably would disagree with you. I never really saw myself working in coffee until I joined this project. It has been one of the most beneficial experiences of my life, being able to work with the college administration to launch something new, going through the process of business planning and financial statements and making decisions. And also, for the students, it's been exposure at every level. I mean, this is not a project that is kind of confined to one area of campus. And I think that the students have enjoyed the fact that if you're a marketing major, you can come and talk to us about brand strategy and working on promotions and setting up the website. And if you're a finance student, working with us on understanding our costs and working with accounting students on manufacturing the finished product. And if you're an engineering student, we're talking about, you know, the new ways of roasting coffee. What's the best way that we can do it? By making slight alterations or automation to the coffee roaster. So it's just been an unbelievable experience to see it all come to life and see students really getting excited about a product that they both understand and can see their work being reflected in.
You mentioned something earlier, social entrepreneurship, and I know that's something that we've talked about on the program before, and investing in people who are social entrepreneurs as well. Talk to us about how that's different from just being a regular entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think social entrepreneurship is the process behind it is trying to do something with an underlying purpose that serves, whether it be community or a group of people, somebody else. And for us, that means supporting the coffee farmers back in Guatemala that we purchased from. And I think that social entrepreneurship sometimes can get a bad rap because it's assumed that all social entrepreneurs work for a charity or a nonprofit, when the reality is social entrepreneurship can be an extremely profitable venture if it's done correctly. And I think that the exciting thing about business, particularly in today's world, is that more and more people are turning towards looking at new ways to make their products or their business socially conscious, and understanding who along their supply chain is impacted by their decisions. And that's something that we take very seriously with the coffee lab, because we know that every decision that we make either helps or hurts the farmers at origin. And we want to do our best to continue to grow to help support their community while also introducing them to new markets here in the United States.
Very cool idea, and it's very exciting to see all of this take shape. I'm sure it sounds like you're having a great time with it as well. So I think the question of the morning is, people are listening with their coffee fix waiting. How can we get coffee? How can we try this coffee?
Yeah, so if you head to northcentralcoffeelab.com, you can order directly from there. There's a bit more information about our product. If you're ever on campus at North Central, feel free to swing in and see us at Lawrence Academic Center on the north end of campus. Starting in the fall, we'll ideally start to offer public classes one or 2 days a month where you can come in, learn about the roasting process, the cupping process, or how to make a great cup of coffee at home. And we're really hoping to engage consumers at every level, so we're excited to collaborate with people.
All right. Well, Connor, we appreciate you being with us this morning, and all the best to everybody involved in the coffee lab.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having me on.
All right. Connor McGurry, the entrepreneur in residence at North Central College, talking about the North Central College Coffee Lab.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are up nearly 0.5% this morning. Same story over at the S&P. NASDAQ futures up nearly 1%. Nice start to the day at about 8:30 Chicago time this morning, at least if things hold as they are now. Let's get an update now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The crop planting progress report yesterday showed we did not catch up very much. Corn acres planted as of Sunday night, 49%. That compares with 30% a week ago, but a five-year average of 8%. Soybean planted acreage as of Sunday night, 19%, compared to 9% a week ago, and 47% in the five-year average. And the condition of the winter wheat crop, it went up a little bit, 66% in the good to excellent category, compared to 64% a week ago and 36% 5 years ago. We always like to take a look at planting in the three I states, and here they are. In Illinois, 24% of the corn crop planted as of Sunday night. That compares to an average of 89% planted by this state. Indiana planting, 14% as of Sunday, compares to a five-year average of 73%. And Iowa, 70% of the corn acres planted. That compares to a five-year average of 89%. And in the soybean planted category, Illinois, 9% of the bean acres planted as of Sunday night, compared to a five-year average of 51%. Indiana, 6% of the beans planted. That compares to an average of 43%. And Iowa, with 27% of its bean acres planted. That compares to the five-year average of 55%. So we have a lot of makeup to do in planting so far this spring. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. A couple of more headlines before we leave you this morning. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says a sharp rise in corporate debt is being closely monitored, but currently the Fed does not see the types of threats that triggered the 2008 financial crisis. Powell says views about riskier corporate debt, known as leveraged lending, range from this is a rerun of the subprime mortgage crisis to nothing to worry about here. The airline industry's U.S. trade group is predicting another record year for summer travel. Airlines for America forecasting that 257.4 million people will fly on U.S. carriers between June 1st and August 31st. That's a 3.4% increase over last summer and works out to about 2.8 million travelers a day. The trade group airline says airlines are adding 111,000 seats per day, more than the predicted 93,000 increase in daily passengers. Dress Barn, the women's clothing chain, is closing all 650 of its stores after struggling with falling sales. Its owner, Ascend Retail Group, says it wants to focus on its more profitable brands. Those brands include Ann Taylor, Lane Bryant, and other women's clothing stores. The company did not say when the Dress Barn stores will all close. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, May 21st. Existing home sales will be out this morning. Housing industry analysts see a strong gain over March. The experts are forecasting a 2.7% pickup in sales to an annual rate of 5.35 million. Numbers due out midday. We will also see a couple of Fed speakers out today, including Rafael Bostic and Charles Evans, on monetary policy as we move forward. And on the earnings calendar, Kohl's, Home Depot, Nordstrom, JCPenney, Urban Outfitters, and TJX all posting quarterly financial earnings. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, May the 21st.